This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Family scale, on the individual scale, and we always hope that tomorrow will be better. But we see in the near future that things are actually getting more and more difficult. So what do we do? This is what I will try to focus on in the talk today, inshallah, when it comes to money. But before I start, there is an essential part that we have to start with as an introduction. Because we as Muslims, whether it's money, whether it's dealings, whether it is relationships, this all comes under one frame, the frame of our religion. Everything is regulated in our religion, including money. So the perception of money in Islam is different from the perception that the kuffar have, that the West have. Allah Azza wa Jal reminded us with that in the Quran, in Surah An-Nur, Surah 24. In Ayah 33, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَتُوهُم مِّن مَالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ. Other people, they consider the money they have is theirs. It's my money, I can do whatever I want. I am very rich, so I can burn the bill, I can tear it apart, I can throw it. In Islam, no, you cannot do that. Why? This is not yours. No, I earned it. Yes, you did earn it, but it's not yours. Belongs to Allah. As everything else also belongs to Allah, you belong to Allah Azza wa Jal. Your parts, if someone said, I want to sell my kidney, you cannot. It doesn't belong to you. It's amana from Allah Azza wa Jal. The same thing when it comes to money. وَآتُوهُم مِّن مَّالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ. Give them of the money of Allah. So whose money it is? It's Allah's money, which He gave you. And to emphasize that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَن تَزُولَ قَدَمَا عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ عَنْ أَرْبَعٍ. On the day of judgment, the feet of the son of Adam will not be moved, will not be taken to paradise or hellfire until he's asked about four things. Twice you'll be asked about money. مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَ أَنْفَقَهُ. How you earned your money and how you spent it. If it's totally yours, you don't have to be asked about it. It's mine, I can do whatever I want with it. No, it's not yours. This element is essential. Why? Because the kuffar, the non-Muslims, they don't have that. I got this, it's mine, I can do whatever I want with it. No, for us Muslims, with every penny we earn, with every penny we spend, we have to ask ourselves, is Allah Azza wa Jal pleased with that? Is Allah Azza wa Jal happy with it? And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-bayyani bil-khiyar, ma lam yatafarraqa." Hakim ibn Hizam radiyallahu anhu, one of the companions, he was a businessman and he used to trade. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded him that the buyer and the seller, they have the option, as long as they are in the same gathering, they have the option of canceling the transaction or finalizing it. Because in principle, if I like something you have, I like this pen, would you sell it to me? Yes, I would sell it to you. How much would you pay for it? 2 ringgit. Okay, I got the pen. Then after a few minutes, you said, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm still writing, so I need the pen. I cannot say no. Sale is finalized. Why? We are still in the same gathering. Al-bayyani bil-khiyar ma lam yatafarraqa. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. The point in this hadith is what? Prophet ﷺ said after that, فَإِن صَدَقَ وَبَيَّنَا. If they told the truth and clarified, بُورِكَ لَهُمَا. They will be blessed. This is something you don't hear in business. Blessing. What's the meaning of blessing? Abundance. We have a lot of people, they make money, but it vanishes. Some people make 20,000 ringgit and they are in debt. Other people, they make 5,000 ringgit and they save from that money. And they almost, both of them, they have almost the same expenses. How is it possible? There is an element, blessing. Is your rizq, your provision, is it blessed? So the barakah, this is something you don't hear in business lectures or workshops. But in Islam, it is essential. Why? Because everything is from where? It is from Allah. So, in normal day, in normal world, in secular world, you are happy, that's it. Satisfaction is the commodity. That's what they market. For us, they tell us, satisfaction is the commodity of the transaction. As long as the customer is satisfied, that's it. Well, what if I satisfied him by hiding the truth? In Islam, you cannot do that. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said what? فَإِن صَدَقَ. You see, the texts, the Quran and Sunnah texts are endless about that. And I'm just giving you an idea. Why? Because this is very important. This is essential. Our understanding of money is totally different from the kuffar. You cannot hide anything. You cannot cheat. As the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ غَشَّ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. He who cheats is not of us. If you are in debt, you should pay as soon as possible. You don't need someone chasing you off, calling you day in and day out just to pay back the debt. No, because the Prophet ﷺ said, مَطْلُ الْغَنِيِّ ظُلْمٌ. Delaying the paying for the one who is capable of, that's injustice. So when you are in debt, you borrowed money from me, and you promised me to pay by the end of the month. The end of the month came. You were able to pay, but you didn't pay. Oh, he didn't ask. I don't have to ask. You agreed to pay at the end of the month, but you didn't pay. You are able to pay. You didn't. You are committing a major sin. Dhulm is a major sin. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. This hadith is authentic. It's in Sahih Muslim. مَطْلُ الْغَنِيِّ ظُلْم. The delaying the pain of the one who is capable of is injustice. Now, if you cannot pay, that's a different story. You see how Islam always encourages everyone to focus on not just what belongs to you, what is due, but the other extra factor, which is ihsan. With barakah, there is also what? Ihsan. Those are two elements you don't have in the Western dealings. Ihsan is when you are willing to go an extra step. This is mine. No, this is mine. No, let's go to court and the judge will decide. Yes, the judge will decide. But if I know that the judge will rule based on the evidence, and I know that the evidence which I have is not true, the judge doesn't know. I know. And the judge judged based on the evidence which I know is not true, but anyways, he judged it, and then I go to people, I say, I have a verdict from the judge. It's my land. Will that help me? No. In front of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it will not help me. Here in dunya, yes, it might help. But not with Allah Azza wa Jalla. So nowadays, people forgot totally about remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla. That there is a day you will stand before Allah Azza wa Jalla and you will be asked about everything. This is really annoying. Tin, could you please at least turn it on silent, because it's six times already. One time, the Prophet ﷺ heard two people disputing outside about a piece of land. And usually that's what happens. You see people in the masjid, you see people praying, and you say, mashallah, they are religious. Only when you deal with them, when it comes to money, then you notice they are totally different. And it shouldn't be like that, because money is part of who we are as Muslims. It shouldn't change us. So the Prophet ﷺ heard two people disputing. He came out and he said, oh people, you dispute and I am a human being. So based on what I hear, based on the evidence, I judge. And I'm a human being. I may make a mistake. Whoever I give him the right of someone else, based on what I heard, based on what I saw, he shouldn't take it when he knows it's not his. Because on the day of judgment, that would not help him. because I'm only giving him a piece of fire. Let him take it or leave it. Immediately the two companions who heard that, what did they do? They were just disputing. Everyone told the other, take it, I don't want it. The other said, no, you take it. You see how it is different? In our time, you don't have this. How much would you sell this? 500. I offer you 400 only. Okay. Because I need the money. You see, I made a good deal. I was able to take it for 400, although it's worth 600. If you are a true Muslim, you wouldn't do that. Why? He was okay. He was okay, yes, but you shouldn't be okay. Why? That's what our religion is teaching us. Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali radiyallahu anhu, he says, بَايَعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى السَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ. I gave the pledge of allegiance to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to obey and listen. وَالنُّصْحْ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمْ, and to give sincerity, to be sincere to every Muslim, to be advising. What does that mean? Why he said this hadith, especially the last part, وَالنُّصْحَ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمْ? Because Jarir radiallahu anhu, one time he commissioned his servant. He gave him money. He told him, go and buy for me a horse. He went and he came back with the horse. It's just like you tell your worker to buy you a car. How much was it? 500. Okay. He rode the horse. And then he told him, where is the seller? Take me to the seller. So the agent, his servant, thought that he did something wrong. Is there anything wrong? He said, no, just take me to the seller. He went to the seller. So he told him, you sold this for 500. He said, yes. He said, here is 100 extra. 100 extra? Yes. Okay, it's easy money. Why would I say no? He took 100 extra. Then Jarir radiallahu anh rode the horse again. And then again came back. And he gave him 200 extra. So now it became what? 800 instead of 600. Or instead of the original 500. So the man looked at him. He thought, this man is crazy. He's just giving me extra money. He said, I know what you are thinking. This is... And that's when he said the hadith. وَالنُّصْحَ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. If I am a true Muslim, I have to be sincere to you. This horse is worth 800. So even if you are okay for selling it for 500, I'm not okay for taking it for that. I wouldn't wait until I take advantage of you. Who would do that in our time? So when you talk about that, this is something that no one talks about in our time. Because how much can you make money? Look at all business workshops and seminars. Look at websites, even the famous ones, LinkedIn and other. They are almost always, they tell you win-win. But basically what they are telling is, you build your own success. How could it be helpful if my own success was at the expense of other people's failure? How would I be okay when 500 people applied for the job and only one took it? What about the other 499? I should be looking for the rest. That's what Islam focused on from the beginning, from day one. Uthman radiallahu anhu. So this is again, I know I'm telling you things that usually you don't hear. But that's the reality. This is how you face the difficulties. Because if you are always trying to take more and the time is more difficult and then you want more, you won't be able to overcome the difficulties. Because sometimes doing less is the answer, not doing more. Allah Azza wa Jal created us and tested us, as He said in Surah Al-Mulk, Ayah 2, هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن. It is He who created death and life to test you who is better, not who is more. Sometimes to focus on something which is less, but giving you better return is much better. So, Uthman radiallahu anhu was a businessman. He understood the concept of money very well. Before Islam and after Islam, he was very rich. How much rich? Multi-millionaire. Because on one time, in one occasion, he gave what is in our time estimated as 4 million ringgit. In one occasion. Who would be able to give in donation 4 million ringgit in one time? And that was not all his money. Unlike Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave up all his money. Uthman radiallahu anhu gave 4,000 dinars. Each dinar, you know now, dinar is worth 4.25 grams of gold. And that's roughly, we're talking about roughly 1,000 ringgit per one dinar. So you multiply 1,000 times 4,000, you get the... So, Uthman radiallahu anhu, in the time of famine, during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, at the year 18 of Hijrah. Umar radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa. Year 18 of Hijrah, it was a famine. No rain, no harvest, people are hungry, people are stealing. As a businessman, I don't focus on raising the price. There are some people, that's how they think. It's time now. Seize the opportunity. Yeah, Uthman radiallahu anhu was able to seize the opportunity. But what opportunity? To please Allah Azza wa Jal. At that time, when everyone was trying to keep what he has, manipulate what he has, to get more, he received an entire caravan. Was able to sustain the food in entire Medina. So people came to him, the merchants came to him offering him on the spot 100% profit. Why? Because they are able to make more profit. We buy it from you for 100% profit and we sell it for more than that. 200% profit, he refused. 300% profit, he refused. Imagine, on the dollar, he's able to make $2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 until 600%. And he refused. He said, I was paid more. Then they said, come on, what are you saying? It just arrived and we are the first ones to come and offer you profit. He said, Allah Azza wa Jal offered me 10 times. This entire caravan is for the Muslims, free. Who would think like that? You would think it was an exceptional example. No, actually this was the norm of the companions. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. That's how Allah Azza wa Jal praised the Ansar. In Surah Al-Hashr. Surah 59. Ayah 9. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. When the immigrants came to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and all the companions, they came with nothing. So what did the Ansar say? Oh, those are refugees. They are taking our jobs. Oh, no. They preferred them over themselves, even though they themselves were in need. They weren't that rich. They didn't have five and they gave half. No. They had maybe two, and out of the two, they gave one. That was the norm in Medina. And that's why they deserve the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal. Have you ever heard that one of them was in need? That one of them begged after that? No. It wasn't once or twice or three times. Never ever it was heard that the companions told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, we're tired. Come on. Every few months, every few years, every few occasions you tell us to give. Come on. It was never heard. Because they knew that this is part of our religion. And our religion organized our entire life. Our religion is not only when we come here for a small talk and then we leave and that's it. No. Our religion organized everything. How we sell, how we buy, how we wake up, how we sleep, how we eat and everything. So, alaykum salam. All that is fine. Okay, but this is not what I really came here for. I didn't come here to listen for a few reminders about being righteous. I want to make money. How to make money? Okay, here are a few tips. Those are from experts. And I will limit them to only few, because again, you could hear from people over 10 or 20 or 50. It doesn't matter. What matters is what suits you and what are you able to implement. Because even if we talk for hours and then nothing is implementable, what's the use? Yeah, we enjoyed the talk and then we left and nothing happened. No. Never ever work in something you don't like. That's number one. Do not work in something you do not like. How many people studied because that was the only option available? How many people studied because it was the wish of their parents? No. Oh, but they are my parents. True, you don't want to go against them. But at the same time, you don't want to lose your life. You are only going to live one life here in this dunya. So you better make the best of it. I know some people, they come to me. And unfortunately, this is something we don't train our children. They should be able to figure out what they want from early age. Ask your child, 6 years old, 7 years old. Yes, ask him or her. What do you want to be in the future? I want to be a doctor. Good. Why? Ask why. There are some professions that will disappear. By the time they graduate, they disappear. So, what do you want to be in the future and why? I know some youth, they graduated, they finished even A level, and then only then they started asking, what should I do for a life, for a living? Where should I study? Should I go there? Should I go here? Now, this is too late. But you know what? Teenagers, they tend to change their mind. Yes, let them change their mind. That's fine. Actually, this is even better experience. It's free. Because later, any experience they have, it will not be free. I'm saying this because some youth, they came to me. And they were asking. We were having dialogue. One of them, he wasted 3 years of his life. Why? Because he couldn't figure what is best for him. About 10 years ago, there was a hike in MBA. I want MBA and I want this, and that was true at the time. So he went for studying business administration in the hopes that later he would get MBA. Why? Because most companies are hiring and most executives, they have what? MBA, Master of Business Administration. Now, actually, the largest companies in the world, they don't stipulate having any college degree. They are smart. You don't have to have even a college degree. As long as you are able to pass the interview, as long as you are able to do the job, that's it. That's all that matters. Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and other companies, they don't stipulate college degree anymore. You need to be able to cope with this change. The old mentality that you have to have a degree, this is not going to work. Believe me. If you are training your child who is now 6, 7 years old to be a driver or even a pilot, it's too late, because by the time, within 10 to 15 years, there will be no drivers. There are certain jobs that are going to disappear. So, work in something you like. Something that you chose, not people chose for you. Okay, but I don't know what I like. Well, here is a simple way to find out. 30 years from now, when you feel like you are approaching to your death, you're going to enter the grave, would you go back and say, Alhamdulillah, that this is what I chose for my life? If yes, then that's good. If you say no, I wish I did this, then now is the time to change. Do not waste a single minute. Why I'm saying this? I know, again, some people, they say, what I like is this. I love this profession. But there is simply not enough job offerings. There isn't any openings available. And therefore, I went for that job. And it's making me more money. Yes, you see, you may make more money. But will you be happy? No. Because if you don't work in something you love, you will not be creative. You will not be able or even willing to give it more. But, and I tell this is part of my own experience. I always tell my colleagues, the shuyukh, the brothers who come and teach, we're not just simply workers. We are messengers. We carry a message. If you only come at 9 o'clock because that's the time you have to come, and you leave at 5 o'clock because that's the time you can leave, and you wait until it's 5 just to leave, then believe me, this is not the life that you want for yourself. I know one of the shuyukh, Jazallah Khair, he's very creative and very active. His organization, NGO, is the best in the country that he works in, without naming any countries, in Kuwait. He is, it's so successful that the government there, they are seeking his help. By profession, he is a chemical engineer. He's a chemical engineer by profession, but he is the head of organization for rehab, for people who are addicted. He takes them in and they are rehabilitated soon after that. He was so successful that the government is adopting his programs. When he was asked, you carry a degree, chemical engineering, and on the other hand, you are a sheikh. He says, yes, this is what I like to do. And that's no wonder. That's why he's creative and he's very successful. Then what about this? Why you studied 4 years of your life? He said, that was the wish of my father. I didn't want to go against him. So he didn't want to upset his father. But once his father died, immediately he switched. Because he wasn't enjoying that. How many people like that? So again, this is for our youth, for our children. If you're retired, it's too late now. But if you are, and unfortunately in the West, they teach that to the children. They have a free session almost every week to see what they are creative in, what they want to be in the future. We don't have that. We wait until we graduate and only then we start thinking. Once we finish high school, we start thinking, what do we want to do? No. You should have a plan early on. Not too early, but at least you have a plan. Don't force your children to do something because you did it. Maybe at your time it was okay, but their time is different. The time is changing very fast. Many professions have changed. The largest taxi company in the world does not own a single cab car. The largest accommodating company in the world does not own a single hotel. So, this is the world that we are living in now. If you are unable to cope with these changes, then you will be left behind. So, this is principle number one. Work in something you love, you like. Yes, we're governed by opportunities, we're governed by environment, we're governed by the circumstances, but make sure that 30 years from now, you go back and you don't regret a single day. Why? Because you enjoy every single moment doing what you are doing. You cannot imagine yourself doing something else. That's where you want to be. That's number one. Number two, focus on the income, the revenue. What does that mean? Isn't that everyone doing what everyone is doing? No. Imagine hiring a new manager, a new CEO to a company which is suffering losses. Immediately, this manager, this CEO, what would he do? Understandably, he will try to focus on where are those expenses and how can we reduce them? What do you think, yes or no? After all, no one wants to waste money. And that's expected. But the creative manager is not the one who focuses on the expenses. No, the one who focuses on what? The income. Because as long as you have more than what you spend, then what? You are in the positive. But if you only focus on the expenses, even if you were able to cut them down to zero, and you don't have any income, what did you do? Unfortunately, many people, that's how they think. The West, they are very smart in marketing. That's why they don't mind spending a lot of money. After all, the commodity that they present to you is very simple. It's very cheap. Then why it is expensive? Because of all the money they put in marketing. So they want to get that back in return. I tell you, prices 10 years ago. So now definitely they changed. I was shocked when I heard that they sell commercials per second. A commercial on TV that lasts for 30 seconds. How much do you think it costs? The event that is mostly watched in the States is the Super Bowl. Super Bowl. They sell the second for $90,000. You know what that means? That means a commercial of 30 seconds is sold for how much? $2.7 million. Imagine paying $2.7 million just for what? For marketing. And by the way, they don't just sell you one commercial. You have to buy a package. And they give you a discount. You buy four 30 seconds for $10 million. Honestly. So you would say that's crazy. No, it's not crazy, because they spend $10 million and they know they are able to get $100 million. If they didn't spend that much, they will not earn. So focus on the income. Average people, they focus on what? The cost, the expenses. Again, I'm not saying you waste money. No, it's never condoned in Islam. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. You don't overspend. You don't waste money. But as long as your income is more, then you are on the safe. That's number two. Number three, make achievement the objective, not the effort. Make the achievement the objective, not the effort. Because many people focus on what? The effort. What did you do? You punched in the card for starting your job at 9 o'clock. Good. And you punched out the card again at 5 o'clock. You left. Good. Between 9 and 5, what did you do? Nothing. As a business owner, you want your employees to be there physically, or you want them to achieve? Personally, I have a staff. They're not many. Maximum we had 6 people at one time. Now we have only 2 full-time and 2 part-time only. We have a small team. But I rather them coming anytime they want, leaving anytime they want, as long as they achieve. If I keep pushing this wall for 10 hours, will I be able to push it? For 20 hours, I won't do anything. I sweat. I lost calories. I was exhausted. That's effort, but that's not achievement. Production. Where is the production? Unfortunately, some people, they live in the mentality of the past. You have to come at that time, and yes, there is a frame, general frame of work. True. I don't want to open everything and allow them to come anytime and leave them, because then they will take advantage of that. The main thing is what? Achievement. What did they achieve? Did they produce something? Did they give something useful? Or they are just there, day in, day out, and then nothing happened. So, this is the third important principle. Focus on what? The objective should be what? Achievement, production, not effort. There are people who are making 10 times the effort that you're making. But at the end of the day, did they do anything? It depends. So these are three essential principles. And by the way, those are not from me. Actually, these are from a book. I summarized an entire book in those three principles. The book called Big Bucks. Okay, what I have from my experience, what I can give you is Number one, you can add to those three principles also. Number one, continuation. Think of continuation and growth. Today, you may get 10,000, and that's a lot of money. But tomorrow, you're not going to get anything. Some people, that's how they think. Get in, get out, make money, and that's it. No, that's not how life works. Continuation. 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Our religion, this is what it teaches us. Whether it is in ibadah or in transaction. The Prophet ﷺ reminded us that when we die, our deeds will stop. Only smart people would think of deeds will continue even after their death. Like now, we mention some scholars who died over 1,000 years ago. But we still mention their name and we still say, rahimahumullah, we still pray for them and they still get hasanat. Can you do that with money? When you sit and people are making money for you, instead of you making the effort. So, focus on what? Growth, continuation. Umar radiallahu an asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He told him, O Messenger of Allah, I earned a lot, a piece of land. More precious than it, I've never earned. This is the most precious money I've earned. What do you advise me to do with it? This was after Khaybar, in year 7 of Hijrah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, إِن شِئْتَ حَبَّسْتَ أَصْلَهَا وَتَصَدَّقْتَ بِالثَّمَرَةِ. If you want, keep the asset, keep the land. Most people, they tell you, give it all. You get the reward. Yes, you get the reward, but you get the reward only once. While the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what did he tell Umar radiallahu anhu? He told him, keep the land. Donate what? The fruit. So what will happen? The fruit is generating hasanat for you every single year. And that's what Umar radiallahu anhu did. Now what is the lesson here in this hadith? You want something to earn you hasanat. Well, the same thing. I want something to earn me income. So what is the thing that will keep generating revenue for me? If I did a project, no matter how nice is it, and then I sold it, and I got the money for it, and that's it. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, what will happen to the money? We'll run out. And then what? That's why when people think, oh, this is like jackpot, they don't tell you what happens later. You never find successful business or company established on what? On a winning lottery ticket. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Yes, you like to have money coming you easy way, but that's not how life works. In 2006, one of the great personalities in Islamic charitable work passed away, rahimahullah. About 15 years ago, he was the founder of one charitable organization. This man, how he started his work? His father was a businessman, was rich, he was wealthy. And his son, this man that I'm talking about, was hoping that one day his father would see his vision in Islamic work. Because his father was wealthy, he was Muslim, but he wasn't focused on charitable work and Islamic da'wah and the other projects. He was purely working in business, mainly carpets. He was importing carpets, especially from Persia, from all over the world, from China, and selling it in the Gulf. And he was making a lot of money. So, the friends of the Sheikh, rahimahullah, the one who passed in 2006, they were telling him, we want to build a masjid, we want to do this da'wah project, and he told them, inshallah, once my father agrees. Days passed by, and suddenly his father passed away. So now this man, this sheikh, inherited the money. So his friends were happy They were sad, of course, his father passed away. But they were happy, their friend now is what? He's rich. So they said, Bismillah, let's build the masjid. He told them, okay. Few days later, what did he do with the money? The extra money that he had, because there were other heirs. He bought a mall, a market center. And he started selling out lots and shops and renting some as well. So the people were surprised. They said, what is this? They were disappointed. You promised us to build a masjid. He said, yes. But you have to wait. That's the continuation. If I build the masjid today, tomorrow what will happen? Please give us money we want to spend on maintenance. Please give us money we want to spend on this. In 4 years, he was able to build 2 masjids. That's the long-term vision, continuation. I kept a permanent source of income, and from that, I was able to do whatever I want. Sometimes focusing on doing things immediately, that will not take you where you are hoping. So, think of what? Continuation. Permanence. Something that will generate for you. And this is, again, this is how we should think about our life. Not just our money or our business. You will die at one day, whether you are 60 years old, 70 years old, 80 years old, you will die. Have you thought of what will happen then? You want hasanat. You want hasanat to be coming, flowing, even after your death. And the Prophet ﷺ gave us the answer. إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمْ إِنْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ When you die, when the son of Adam dies, his deeds will stop. Except for 3 things. صَدَقَ جَارِيَة Continuous charity. أَوْ عِلْمْ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ Useful knowledge. أَوْ وَلَدٌ صَالِحْ يَدْعُو لَهُ Or a righteous son that will pray for him. Imagine if you were able to achieve all these 3. You know, the largest companies in the world, I tell you something that I saw. I saw it firsthand. They're not running charities. They are smart. They go and recruit graduates. Someone who is finishing high school with excellent grades. They take them in. Don't worry about student loan. You cannot afford studying in the top 10 elite schools, top 10 elite colleges, we will finance that for you. They're not Muslims. They are business people. Because they know those people, they take them, they pay for their studies for 4 years, what will happen? They will go and work for them. So they get in return 10 times what they spent. That's how they think for their dunya, for their world. Why don't we think like that? For both our dunya and our religion and our deen. So, this is an important principle. Continuation, growth. Another principle, ask yourself always in anything you do. You open a restaurant. You sell shoes. You sell clothes. You do whatever you want. Ask yourself this question, and that's the other principle that I want to share with you. What is the value that you added? So the principle is add value. What is the value that you are adding in? People make money in all different ways. Food, they sell food. Imagine someone who sells junk food and another one who says, I'm only selling healthy food to nourish the brain and the body. Both are making money, but what's the difference? Someone, again, there is no one who can say it's haram to earn money. You are earning money in a halal way. But why not make this halal way the best halal way? Organic, instead of having artificial ingredients, artificial colorings, and this. in anything you do. Just imagine doing this. So add value. Education. I can charge people for this lecture. But someone else could also charge for the same lecture. And maybe even less. Why you are charging more? Well, I'm charging more because I'm adding this value. Can you say this? That's what you need to remember. Add value. Anyone can make money. Anyone wants to make money. But why not make money and at the same time you add value? Another principle, and I'll try to wrap up because it's almost an hour. Don't reject the little job opportunities that come your way. Now, this is debatable. Some people wait for that big break. But in reality, this may never happen. So, as long as you are able to work, even small jobs, but they are earning you halal income within the conditions that we talked about, then do not wait. Ali radiallahu anh, he worked for a Jewish man. What was his job? He would go down the well and fill an empty bucket with water. He goes down the well. Of course, there is no elevator, no electricity. You go down manually. You fill the bucket with water and you come up. How much he gets? What was his wage? One date. Per bucket. Every bucket, he gets one date. Imagine, how many buckets can you fill? Going down and up again. Some people, from the first time, they get exhausted. Few times and you're tired because you're doing this manually. Ali radiallahu anhu did it 17 times. So he got how much? 17 dates. He didn't say, I am the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Eventually, Ali became the Khalifa of Muslims. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, مَا مِن نَبِي إِلَّا وَرَعَ الْغَنَمِ. There isn't a prophet except that he was a shepherd. He worked as a shepherd. Every single messenger had a profession. Carpenter, tailor. So there is nothing wrong with that. Then if you got a better job, alhamdulillah. If you didn't, at least you are working. But to just sit and wait for that miracle job offering that you have been waiting, chances are this may not happen. Competition is higher. Time is getting more and more difficult. So you have to accept the reality. Ali radiallahu anh didn't mind. He came to Medina, he didn't have anything. He didn't sit and wait and blame people. You're disrespectful, I'm the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have to pay me money. No. He worked for one date. One date? Yes. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm too big. This false ego that some people have, let it go. Let go of it. So, our religion is perfect. It gave us many ways. Don't focus on excuses. Anyone can blame the time, the society, people. What are the opportunities? What are the solutions? Try to find a solution. I share with you my own experience with something that I saw. People mostly asked me for over 15 years now, is it halal or haram to have mortgage? Yes. Is it halal or haram? So I always ask myself, why do we even limit our options to either it is halal or haram? Our students at Aris, they know that because I shared with them this project. I published a paper in the International Islamic Economics magazine in 2015 about takaful. You heard the word takaful. But unfortunately, using a word only doesn't mean changing the fact. Because I could say halal pork. I could say, but that doesn't make it halal. It's still pork and it is still haram. So if I say takaful, just by saying takaful, it doesn't become really takaful unless it is really takaful. The concept of takaful is what? وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. That's what Allah says in Surah Ali Imran. وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. And Zakaria sponsored her. The sponsorship. When we cannot afford something and others are helping, someone chipping in. So this is kafala. Takaful initially is when I pay and you pay and he pays and all of us together, we are establishing what? A sponsorship. Sponsorship to what? To those who are unable to afford. So let's say an insurance company, takaful insurance. How does it work? Takaful insurance works when I pay the premium and you pay the premium. That premium, that income, is not going to the pockets of the CEOs. No. Where is it going? Only to those who are unable to afford an accident, to fix their car or to pay for expenses. When that happens, if my premium is 300, I'm willing not just to pay 300, but I would pay even more. Why not? Why? Because you will be rewarded for it. This will become a charity for you as well. Because we are putting the money and only the ones who are in need will get it. So why I mentioned takaful? When it comes to housing, on average, our youth between the age of 25 to 35, those who just graduated, started their work, and they wanted to establish a family. On average, in that age group, how many of them can afford buying a house, paying it cash up front? How many? What do you think? Almost zero? Yeah. So what's the solution? What did we provide as a solution? So here is where takaful could help. Forget about the bank. Because the bank is interested only in one thing. You take the money from the bank, you give back the money with interest. That's it. Unfortunately, there are some banks, they say it's Islamic, it is. Adding just Islamic doesn't make it Islamic. Unless it really differs. And this is not really our topic, this is something else. Because, yeah, to talk about Islamic credit card, Islamic... Soon, maybe someone will say Islamic riba. No, it's haram. So there is totally different. We don't take what they have and change the label and then it becomes halal. So, if we have only 100 people, only 100 youth of those who want to buy a house, if you go to the bank and you want to apply for a loan, the average price of the house is what? 400,000, 500,000, 500,000, okay? Again, almost none has 500,000 upfront. So you will take a loan. That loan you will pay it within 20 to 30 years, yes or no? How much you will end up paying over the span of 30 years? At least double. You're paying more than 1.2 million ringgit, okay? So how about paying exactly 500,000 only, or even less? Less? Yes. How? If we have 100 people, now, each one of them has to pay the down payment. How much is the down payment? 10%. 15%, we're taking the minimum, 10%. 10% of 500,000 is what? 50,000 times 100, that's 5 million. How many houses can you buy with 5 million? 10 houses, very good. You give back 8 houses on the spot to 8 of those 100. Why not 10? Because the other 2, remember the continuation, the permanence I told you about, those will be sold at market price. The cost was 500,000. Will you sell them for 500,000?
No.
Of course not. You will sell them for more than that. And that will keep generating revenue. And that will go back to the 100 members. And every month, they are all paying the monthly payment. And every month, one of the 100 is getting a house. So within 90 months, we're talking about average of 8 years, less than 10 years. You paid off the entire price for your house with zero increment, only the cost price. You got your house, and on top of that, there is a revenue that is coming your way also. From what? From that permanent revenue that is coming. That's just an idea. If we apply takaful in other projects, this is one solution. I have an idea, but I don't have the money. You have the money, we can become a partnership. That's one of the most famous forms. But this is not the only one. There are. So, what I like to conclude with, thinking the usual way will give you only the usual result. Everybody else is thinking the same way. Now, we live in a time where the bigger is dominating and the smaller is almost wiped out. So for us Muslims, we should be actually together. We should strengthen one another instead of separating. A lot of people are complaining. It's easy to complain, to list the problems, but what is the solution? And again, I'm telling you another experience that we are doing. At Aris, we announced that inshallah, starting next month, in less than 2 weeks' time, our classes, the ones that were generating for us the revenue, will be free. A program that costs 1,500 ringgit is free. Free? What about the cost? We have almost every month 20,000 ringgit cost. Where will it come? It will come from takaful. Instead of having 20 students, now we already have over 80 students. Now, of course, we announced it's free, so they don't have to pay. But if they want to pay, they are more than welcome. This pay will be for them as a charity. And it will help, because when we started in 2006, our students, they were the main providers and the main sponsors. And they never imagined that 15 years later, there will be classes offered on the other side of the world. So, subhanAllah, sometimes you plant a seed and you leave it. Don't rush the result. Many times we try to rush results quickly. Wait. Let time take its course, because you cannot make the baby grow faster than its days. You cannot make the plant grow faster than its days. You keep adding water, what will happen? You kill the plant. So, alhamdulillah, now the good thing is we are having full house almost every day. The classes are full. We don't want anyone to stop coming just because they cannot afford paying the fees. Yes, we did have expenses, we still have expenses, but inshallah it will be covered. Remember, always, provision is not in what you plan. Yes, you need a plan, you need to work something, you need to make the effort, but at the end of the day, who's the real one who gives you the provision? Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's very nice and very pleasing to get money easily. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal many times, but I'm not getting what I'm asking for. You don't know what is best for you. Allah knows. Allah knows. Do you think it's difficult on Allah Azza wa Jal to give you what you're asking? How hard is it on Allah Azza wa Jal to give you millions or even billions? But Allah reminded us in Surah Ash-Shura, Surah 42, Ayah 27. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Had Allah Azza wa Jal given people everything they want, the provision, all the provision they want, what will happen? They will commit aggression. You don't know what is best for you. Of course, you always ask Allah Azza wa Jal, and there is nothing wrong. Very rich, multi-millionaire, there is nothing wrong. But as long as it is in your hand, not in your heart. Many companions were rich. Uthman radiallahu an, Abu Bakr radiallahu an, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu an. So, all of them, none of them was considered doing something wrong. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the concept that Islam encourages poverty, this is wrong. Allah Azza wa Jal told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Surah Al-Duha, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. He found you in need and he made you rich. Who's the one who made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam rich? Allah. We have our limitation. If I am wealthy, multi-millionaire, and I say I will make you rich, I will make you rich based on my ability. But when Allah is the one who is making you rich, what do you think? The Prophet ﷺ owned not just one simple property, one simple land. He owned cities, Fadak. He owned in the hundreds of livestock. In one day, he gave three people 100 sheep each. 300 sheep. How much is one sheep on average? 1,000. Times 300. One day he gave 300,000. In his farewell Hajj, how many camels he sacrificed? 100. 63 with his own hand, and the rest, 37. Ali radiallahu anhu continued the rest. How much that costs? Do you know? You're talking about almost 500,000 ringgit. Prophet ﷺ was very rich, but he never kept that for himself. So, being rich, there is not a problem with that at all. The concept that you have to be... No, you make money and then you give that money. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned many times in the Quran the qualities of the believers. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And of what we provided them, they spend. Many people read that and they say, okay, what does it mean? وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Of what we provided them, they spend. So first you have to earn. And then you spend. Some people say, alhamdulillah, I don't have to worry about zakah. True. Why? I didn't even earn enough to save money, so zakah would be due to me. But do you know that if you earned enough and you saved and zakah became mandatory and then you paid the zakah, you fulfilled one of the pillars of Islam. So the concept that poverty and... No, Islam never condones poverty. But the problem is when people usually get rich, usually they forget. كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. This is what happens. إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ. Qarun was very rich. He used to be from the people of Musa عليه السلام. But he was very rich that his keys, only the keys for his treasures, they were difficult to be carried. Not the treasures themselves, the keys to the treasures. So that's why he transgressed. So again, don't think that Allah Azza wa Jal cannot give you what you're asking. Never ever think that it is difficult on Allah Azza wa Jal to give you. There is a reason for what is happening. But always ask Allah Azza wa Jal. It's not difficult. In a split second, Allah Azza wa Jal can change everything. If the kuffar can make money, then Muslims cannot? Of course they can. So this is what I wanted to share with you. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us among those who listen to the guidance and follow the best of it. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give us better understanding of our religion. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the ability to implement all the rulings and the teachings of our religion. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Any questions?
We have about 15 minutes if you have any questions. Yes.
What is the maximum allowable profit?
What is the maximum allowable profit? Good question. The maximum allowable profit is no maximum. So, when people say on average it has to be 30% or no, there is no maximum. I just gave you the example of Uthman radiallahu anhu. He was offered 600%. No one said this is haram. The only haram is when it becomes manipulation and extortion. But other than that, it's not haram.
You mentioned just now about the not willing to pay the debt. If
the
person died,
mm-hmm.
and he still
have
the debt, what happened to his robe?
If the person died, yeah, and he owes a debt.
Yeah.
Well, there is a maximum, there is a basic principle, maxim of fiqh, qa'ida fiqhiyya, al-ghun bil-ghurm. What does that mean? What you earn, what you are supposed to earn, then you are also supposed to guarantee. What does that mean? If that person who left a debt, if he left money, surplus, would that be inherited? Yes or no? So the heirs should pay the debt, because al-ghunmu bil-ghurm. So, if your father died and he left debt, you should pay that debt. Why? Because if your father left excess, surplus, you will inherit. It's not justice. You only take what is useful, but when it is not useful, you say, I have nothing to do with it. So, al-ghunmu bil-ghurm. That's what happens.
What if we guarantor to a student?
Yeah. Yes, of course. That's the principle of guaranteeing. When you guarantee, you are a guarantor. The person cannot pay, they come to the guarantor.
So what if we die before we are eligible to pay off? Is guarantor to be paying?
Okay, now he couldn't pay. And you also couldn't pay. You are a guarantor, you're not the debtor. The debtor should pay. You're only a guarantor, which means when the debtor cannot pay, they come to the guarantor. Okay.
The debtor cannot pay.
If the debtor cannot pay, they came to the guarantor, and the guarantor also died. And it's possible, it could happen, and you're still responsible, so since you guaranteed.
Is it like a debt inherited by...
It is like a debt, yes. Because you didn't inherit it initially, it was the original debtor, but you got it eventually because you were the guarantor. So your heir, the one who inherits from you, is supposed also to pay. Provided that the original debtor or the people couldn't pay.
In that case, who has more responsibility?
It's always the original. It's always the original debtor, the next of kin to the debtor. That's why this is very far scenario, but it could happen.
You mean the next of kin of the debtor is more responsible than the guarantor?
No.
No.
Than the next of kin of the guarantor. Any other questions? Yes.
Is it okay to have
no.
a loan? Oh, no. Oh, I asked you, no.
Yeah, it's no. Okay, go ahead, fine.
Is it okay for a bank to have a loan which spends two generations of people paying? Because the house is so expensive, they say, okay, now the loan is 60 years so that you can afford it. But it means that your heir will have to take over and pay the loan after you die. Is that permissible? is it permissible for the father to enter into that sort of arrangement, burdening the next generation?
The question itself is incorrect. Because in a scenario like that, will this loan be debt free, riba free? So you're asking, it's just like you. Yes. But to answer that part only, Umar radiallahu an, when he saw people transacting for 2 years later, he said, "What extended hope you have." So even for longer than 2 years, he did not want it to happen. So again, before you complete, I told you no. So you see, I know. Any other questions? All right. Jazakumullah. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm sorry, I just want to get Sunni clarifying. Okay, now you were talking about effort and achievement.
Yes.
So how can we get achievement if we don't put effort?
No one says you don't put effort. Focus on the achievement. I gave an example. If I just come from 9 to 5, but I don't do anything, then why? What good is it? Of course, you need to make the effort. But the focus is on what? Achievement.
Okay, is that for our children also? Now that they say every man is a product of his environment. So we see now, if you give a child to choose what they want,
yeah,
you think would that be good?
Of course, it's good. Your role as a parent is to supervise, to channel, not to force. But you don't leave everything open. If your child told you, "I want to be a thief." Yes, he says, "I see all thieves becoming rulers." Oh, he's now talking politics. He's dangerous. But he's telling the truth. You let him do it? Of course not. So your job is to supervise. Yes, of course. But we're not saying the result. We're saying the effort and the achievement. You make the effort. No one is saying you ignore the effort. But you focus on what? On the achievement, production. The Prophet ﷺ was not asked about the result. Same thing. I'm not asking you about results, but I'm asking you about what? Production. Achievement. What is this going to lead us? Where? Just putting this effort like that, without having any outcome, that's... So I understand, yes.
Any more questions? Okay, if I may just recap what you have just said, the tips that you gave. You say that number one is to be passionate in whatever we choose to do, right? And number two is focus on income, not on expenses. And number three, make sure that we focus on the achievement as the objective, not the effort. Number four is continuation and focus on growth. So this is more like istiqamah, then? Yeah, correct. Okay. So that applies
not only for ibadah, but
also
for businesses, right? Yeah. Right. And number
five, to add value in the businesses, whatever you're doing
in
business or your services. And finally, do not reject small jobs. Right? Okay.
Jazakallah khairah. But you forgot the first tip, the most important one. Pay to PMP. And that is... okay.
All right. Thank you.